Okay.
Okay, good morning. Welcome to Radio Top Tropicals, our live Saturday morning Meet the Gardener webcast. Today is our second episode. Before we start, let me just do a little administrative work. You can listen live on our Mixlr account. That's mixlr.com/toptropicals. From that account, you can also type in questions to us and we'll answer live on the air. You can also get your questions answered live by calling us at 239-887-3323. That's 239-887-3323. And our Top Tropical staff will make sure we get the questions on air to answer for you. Once again, before we start, let me give you a little history of what we're doing here. Many people are familiar with Top Tropicals, but if you're not, we are the world's foremost authority on tropical plants. And if you don't know, Top Tropical started almost 15 years ago, really as a tribute to tropical plants by a couple enthusiasts who really wanted to share their love of everything tropical with the people. From that point, we have got a website now with over 4,000 plants, information on care, selection, over 40,000 pictures, and of course, we also have plants available, over 2,000 plants available. So if you're new to tropical plants or if you want to find information, please go to our website. You can also ask us questions by sending emails to info@toptropicals.com if you can't make the show. And of course, you can also go to our Facebook site. We're Facebook Top Tropicals, and you can find our past episodes as well as any other information and questions right there. Okay, so with that out of the way, today's topic is going to be weed or wonder plants. We're going to explore some plants that have been considered invasive species, and we'll reveal some interesting and some probably not so well-known facts about those plants. Last week, our topic was aphrodisiacs, where we teach you how to grow your own happiness, and you can listen to that webcast live on our Facebook site, our past episodes. Today, to start our show, let me introduce our hosts. We have Robert Reefer, an international certified crop advisor and weed specialist, and also Christy Von Binschoten, our manager here at Top Tropicals, who also knows everything about the plants and is happy to answer your questions. So without further ado, let me introduce Robert, and he'll give us a little presentation on today's topic. Robert, it's to you.
Thank you. Good morning. Basically, there are many species down here in Southwest Florida and South Florida as well that are being highly maligned by what I tend to call the native purists. Basically, if you take a look at most of the truly native or pre-Columbian plants that existed here in Florida, they do not have pretty flowers, they do not offer decent fruit. And we're going to get into some of the most heavily maligned and heavily called invasive species and show that indeed there is a use for these plants. The first one I'd like to talk about is known as Florida holly or Brazilian pepper, which has been terribly maligned. The Brazilian pepper has uses for humans as both medicine and as a spice. If you go to your grocery store and you take a look at the spice section, look for a brand called the McCormick Spice Grinder Series. In there, you will find that there's a peppercorn grinder containing white, black, and pink peppercorns. The pink peppercorns are in reality the seeds of the Chymus teratifolia or Florida holly, also known as Brazilian pepper. So it can be used as a spice, and since we're down here in the South, I highly recommend it on grits. And if you don't have grits and you're eating cream of wheat, throw out the cream of wheat and start eating grits. One other plant species that has been heavily maligned, and for the most part, it really should have its population drop significantly, is that of Melaleuca leucophylla, also known as the paper or punk tree. It, however, has some uses. For instance, a salve known as Tiger Balm is made from this particular species. In addition, the wood can be used as a building material. It is a very, very excellent wood and is also somewhat resistant to insects. Finally, we have Philanthus amarus. Although not considered an invasive species, it is considered a weed to most people. One interesting thing about this plant, its common name is called seed on the leaf. It's a plant that grows approximately up to a foot high, and you find it in nursery pots everywhere. This particular weed has been examined by pharmacologists as a possible cure for hepatitis B. Right now, there are over 80 million people in the world suffering from this disease. The state of Florida has recently found a supposed cure for hepatitis, and the cost per patient is right now $100,000 approximately. And you and I are paying for it every time we buy a light bulb or anything else that's taxable. So basically, some of these plants that are considered weeds are not due to their malicious nature, but just due to the lack of imagination that we have. I personally believe there's a reason for every plant on this planet. It's just a question of us investigating and seeing basically what can be done with it. Does it have industrial use? Does it have medicinal use? Can it even be made into an edible? There are also several other past weeds. One of them was called the love apple, and they tried to assassinate George Washington by feeding him a plate of these love apples. Today, you and I know the love apple as a tomato. In addition, the potato had to be introduced into Germany through trickery. Being a member of the nightshade family, people had eaten the berries off of the potato plant and gotten deathly ill. One of the kings, I believe it was Ludwig, ended up throwing a party and had potatoes made into a special recipe. Everybody loved it, and then he finally told them a few days later that, hey, this is actually the potato. So imagine when you think German cooking and potato pancakes and everything else, actually having to be tricked into eating this food that now provides a staple for billions all over the world. So a weed, by definition, is an unwanted plant. So what we need to ask ourselves is why is this plant unwanted? Maybe indeed there is a use for this particular species.
Robert, that's awesome information. I've never heard Ludwig and invasive plants in the same sentence before, so I congratulate you for that. Let's start with our first question before we go on with the presentation. We have a question regarding the sapodilla, and the question is, this plant from the Manicara genus was found on the Florida invasive plant list, and the viewer is asking, does it mean that she should not plant this fruit tree? Robert, Christy, who wants to answer that question?
Madam, plant that plant.
Let me give you an example. There are several plants considered to be invasive by the state of Florida here. One of them, believe it or not, is our state tree, the sable palmetto or cabbage palm. They recently in the Picayune Strand decided there were too many of them. There are people going into park areas now that are picking on another little invasive species called Eulophia graminea. It is in reality an orchid that provides food for critters as well as pollination material for bees and other insects. The problem is you wind up with highly schooled, undereducated biologists that believe that they know better. And these people can be, unfortunately, control freaks. So basically, the state of Florida, as far as the amount of wildlife is concerned, as far as the quality of living is concerned, as far as the overall ecological balance is concerned, has actually been made better through introduction of non-native species. And go ahead and plant that sapodilla. Some of these people, it's very, very strange, and they really do need to stay on their meds. They will see more than 10 trees in an area and say, oh my gosh, it's taking over. We have to control this. So, in fact, one of the questions when I did retail nursery was, is this plant native? And I'd tell them, no, but don't worry about it. Neither are you. Then occasionally they would ask me, how do you know we're not Florida natives? And I'd have to explain, well, there's only 4 dozen of us, and you're never at the meetings.
All right. So that answers that question. Before we go on, as you know, our topics are everything tropical plant. We're not just going to stick to the topic of the day. We have some questions coming in on mangoes, and we just happen to have a whole lot of mangoes come in, and I'm going to turn this mic over to Christy, who's going to talk a little bit about mangoes in general, as well as maybe some of the specialized mango plants that we have available at Top Tropicals.
All right, so yesterday we've got a huge shipment that just came in. We got a lot of new varieties that also came in from Zills. They just put out a new cotton candy mango that is supposedly actually tastes like cotton candy. We also got the orange essence and a phoenix. All of our new mangoes can be found on our website at toptropicals.com. A new and rare exotic fruit tree that just came in yesterday, the Maprong, actually produces orange fruits that look like small mangoes or apricots. It is a small tree, around 10 to 20 feet. Very rarely found in garden centers. A lot of our loquats are back in stock. I know a lot of people have been waiting for our loquats to come back in. We also got the new South Florida persimmons that just came in and actually requires no chill hours, so it's really great for the warmer zones here in Florida. We got a call from a customer, what new mangoes do we have this season? We just introduced some, and also they can all be found on our website at toptropicals.com.
Okay, so a lot of new plants arrived. Robert, let me ask you, we have a lot of our visitors to the website, and did you know, by the way, that we have over 10,000 visitors a day to our website at Top Tropicals? That's an amazing amount of people who are looking for information on tropical plants, not just to buy them, of course, but to learn about them, learn what would work best in their zone. And we had a lot of people coming from California. So, Robert, do you want to talk a little bit maybe about some of these new mangoes and what would work best in that kind of climate?
Yes, well, 10,000 visitors a day? Well, thank God for the internet. It would sure be difficult to shake all their hands if they came to the front gate. Well, many of the mangoes that we have somewhat of a spread out blooming time. So consult the website for when you see what's going to bloom. And, you know, when I was born and raised in Miami, and you'd be somebody's newest best friend if you said, Yo Tango Mango. But the mangoes are an absolutely fantastic tree. I remember even having mango trees so large when I lived in Miami that we climbed them, actually built a tree house in them. I even had a swing set hanging from one. But it's a member of the Anacardiaceae family and is related to cashews. In fact, there was a gentleman that managed to anarch graft. That's where you combine two plants by putting them together side by side to where they make one. He actually anarch grafted a mango tree with the Florida holly, which is also a member of Anacardiaceae. We also carry cashews, which are absolutely fantastic. The nut, when green, is poisonous, but heat destroys this toxin when they're roasted. The fruit, however, may be eaten raw and is probably one of the most delicious.
Great. Okay, we have another question from a call-in customer, and I'm remind you, you can call us at 239-887-3323. I think, Christy, I'm going to let you handle this question. The question from a Southwest Florida visitor is, what loquat varieties would you recommend for the Southwest Florida market?
Well, Southwest Florida, most of the loquats would do really well here. We have a great climate for growing tropical plants, but one of the most popular ones is the Ed's Delight. It actually has quite a large fruit. Another one is the Christmas. It actually ripens earlier than any of the other varieties of loquats, so you get your fruit a lot sooner with them than
okay, great. And Robert, you just mentioned cashews, so we have a call-in question from North Florida, and that viewer wants to know if they can grow a cashew tree in North Florida.
Yes, you can. You can get quite a bit of fruit from a tree that's anywhere between 6 to 7 feet tall. I have one down here in Lehigh Acres, and you could grow a tree that size in about a 25-gallon pot. You would have to bring it in the winter. In fact, my wife hails from North Florida, and y'all grow banana trees up there. They get hit back a little bit, but they most always come back. Now, North Florida is substantially colder, of course, in South Florida, but I would say you can basically raise it as a houseplant. Put it out in spring when all danger of freeze and frost have passed, and take it in the fall and winter months when you would again have the possibility of
freeze or frost.
Okay,
and a follow-up question from that same listener. How soon can they expect the cashew to produce fruit?
Okay, somewhere between about 4 to 5 feet high. In fact, we even have in the nursery, I saw a little tiny cashew tree in about a 1 gallon pot that was already blooming. And it won't hold any fruit because the plant can't sustain it. But at 4 to 5 feet tall, you can expect fruit. And there is one trick to getting a lot of fruit on a cashew. You do not need two of them, you only need one. But what I would do would be to spray the flowers when they're outside and allow the insects to pollinate them. The insects get attracted by the water, especially on dry days, and then
they
pollinate
the cashew.
And
Robert, this topic came up last week, but I think we should talk about it a little bit more today, and that's our sunshine product, the sunshine in a bottle. Maybe you could spend a minute talking a little bit about sunshine and its use with the tropical plants that we offer here, as well as any other plants.
Sunshine is basically a natural plant steroid that was found in the pollen of brassica. Your brassicas are like your broccoli, cauliflower, etc., mustard greens. And this particular steroid helps the plant to be more vigorous. It's basically like you or I taking a multiple vitamin daily. You do have your macronutrients, your nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. Then you have about 10 other micronutrients. But hormonal balance is essentially important. And as with humans, when a plant gets its hormones out of line, bad things can happen. Although not as bad as when humans get.
Okay, well, before we go on and talk about the next question, Robert, regarding sunshine, we offer that right here at Top Tropicals. How is that applied, and can I use that around the house? Is it safe for my pets? Is it safe for my children?
Yes, it is perfectly safe. The brassina steroid that we use is dissolved in 99.9% isopropyl alcohol. So it is no more dangerous than a bottle of rubbing alcohol that you have in, you know, the apothecary or bathroom. It's perfectly safe for pets. If you were to get it on your skin,
Okay, great.
No
real problem. Let's move on to our next question. We have a customer on the phone asking that we have a new plant, the maprang, which is related to the mango. And the call-in question is, can they grow that plant in Southern California in the ground? Chris, do you want to handle that for us?
Oh, the maprang is related to the mango, so you can actually grow it in the ground in Southern California. However, if you do experience anything under 55 degrees, you will have to cover and protect your plant. But other than that, you should be able to grow it in South California.
Okay, and a follow-up question regarding the mangoes. What is the best way to protect the mangoes from fungus on the leaves? Robert, that might be your question.
Okay, one of the great underutilized fungicides that's perfectly safe is, in actuality, hydrogen peroxide, just like you get at the apothecary or drugstore. Approximately 1 pint of hydrogen peroxide at the apothecary to 1 gallon of water is the best mixture, and then this is sprayed on the leaves. Hydrogen peroxide breaks down into two chemicals that you can probably handle. They're called oxygen and water, so there's no residual problems at all. In the agricultural world down here in South Florida, we use actually 30% hydrogen peroxide, and then put it into solution at a 1% to 1.5% volume per volume to control bacteria.
Interesting.
And
now that
fungus.
Hydrogen peroxide, can that be used on other plants as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, there's actually a chemical even stronger than hydrogen peroxide called hydrogen dioxide, HO2. This stuff is tremendously caustic. It's handle with care. And if you get the tiniest of speck on
so we're
going to
stick with hydrogen peroxide, I think, is the answer.
Yes, and I would go to the apothecary, or excuse me, they're now called drugstores, at 3%.
Another follow-up
really
question
no
regarding the
it.
Mangoes. The question from our customer is, how often should I water a mango if it's grown in a container? Christy?
It's going to vary depending on a couple different things. Is it in full sun? How much humidity do you have in your area? Basically, the best thing to do is to water your plant thoroughly. Let it dry out almost completely, you know, feel your soil, and then water again. But it's going to really vary depending on where you're at.
Okay, and all this talk about mangoes brings up a very interesting topic that we want to let you guys know about. With our new delivery that just came in and with the holiday weekend coming up, President's Day on Monday, we are happy to announce our President's Day sale, where we are offering discounts for online purchases from 10% all the way up to 25%, depending on your purchase, of course. You can find information about our President's Day sale right online at toptropicals.com, also on our Facebook page, and they'll tell you what codes to enter. And remember, this sale ends end of business on Monday, this coming Monday, President's Day. So please go to our website, check out our discounts and our new plants and our new arrivals. So today's topic was invasive plants, weed or wonder. You can listen to our broadcast on our Facebook site. We'll have it posted up there. And, of course, you can always call us at 239-887-3323 with questions and also info@toptropicals.com. So speaking about our episodes, we have a question coming up. What is our next radio show topic going to be about? Robert wanted to talk about politics, but we turned that down. No politics. Christy wanted to talk about fitness and beauty, but no fitness and beauty. Robert, what is our topic going to be next week? A good combination. Can we throw religion in there as well to really fire up this staff? All right, what are we talking about next week, Robert?
Okay, sure.
Well, I guess it's going to remain a mystery until next week. I tell you what.
Let's think about this. Yes.
Grow your own dude. I can't wait to find out what that's going to be.
And this is where you can grow some of your favorite foods and many of the plants that you either cannot find at your local grocery store or are prohibitively expensive. And many of these wonders can be grown in Top Tropicals Nursery.
Fantastic. And I remember from last week's show, we talked a little about avocados and how you can grow so many different varieties of avocados, get fresh avocados almost year-round if you live in the right place and you choose the right plants without the supermarket cost. Who can beat that, Robert? All right, and a reminder as well that at Top Tropicals, we grow happiness. If you go to our YouTube site, we have a 10-video series that we're starting on 10 different ways that you can grow happiness. We've already done the first two. Look for video number 3 coming up next week. Okay, so I think that'll do it for this week. We appreciate you guys calling in, seeing us online. Remember to check us at toptropicals.com. We have our President's Day sale going through Monday. Lots of new variety, lots of new product. We look forward to seeing you next Saturday at our mixlr.com/toptropicals radio station. For that, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.